I want to read some verses from the Word of God from the Old Testament tonight, 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 22, 2 Samuel chapter 3. And behold, the servants of David and Joab came from pursuing a troop and brought in a great spoil with them. But Abner was not with David in Hebron, for he had sent him away, and he was gone in peace. When Joab and all the host that was with them were come, they told Joab, saying, Abner the son of Ner came to the king, and he has sent him away, and he is gone in peace. Then Joab came to the king and said, What hast thou done? Behold, Abner came in unto thee. Why is it that thou hast sent him away, and he is quite gone? Thou knowest Abner the son of Ner, that he came to deceive thee, and to know thy going out and thy coming in, and to know all that thou doest. And when Joab was come out from David, he sent messengers after Abner, which brought him again from the well of Sirah. But David knew it not. And when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly, and smote him there under the fifth rib, that he died for the blood of Asahel his brother. And afterward, when David heard it, he said, I and my kingdom are guiltless before the Lord forever from the blood of Abner the son of Ner. Let it rest on the head of Joab and on all his father's house, and let there not fail from the house of Joab one that hath an issue, or that is a leper, or that leaneth on a staff, or that falleth on the sword, or that lacketh bread. So Joab and Abishai his brother slew Abner, because he had slain their brother Asahel at Gibeon in the battle. And David said to Joab and to all the people that were with him, Rend your clothes and gird you with sackcloth, and mourn before Abner. And King David himself followed the bier. And they buried Abner in Hebron. And the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner and all the people. And the king lamented over Abner and said, Died Abner as a fool dieth. Thy hands were not bound, nor thy feet put into fetters. As a man falleth before wicked men, so fellest thou. And all the people wept again over him. And when all the people came to cause David to eat meat while it was yet day, David sware, saying, So do God to me and more also, if I taste bread or aught else till the sun be down. And all the people took notice of it, and it pleased them, as whatsoever the king did pleased all the people. For all the people and all Israel understood that day that it was not of the king to slay Abner, the son of Ner. And the king said unto his servants, Know ye not that there is a prince and a great man fallen this day in Israel? And I am this day weak, though anointed king. And these men, the sons of Zeruiah, be too hard for me. The Lord shall reward the doer of evil according to his wickedness. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word there from that particular portion this evening for his name's sake. We'll ask Helen if she'll come and minister in song again, please.
Someday you'll hear God's final call to you to take his offer of salvation. reject God's final call of grace, you'll have no chance your footsteps to retrace. All hope will then be gone, and doom you'll face. Oh, hear his call. Oh, hear his call. God's final call. God's final call.
I do appreciate the ministry and song very much this evening. May the Lord even challenge our hearts through those pieces and how solemn a thought that is, God's final call. Turn back to that portion, please, that we have been reading, 2 Samuel chapter 3. And I want to think about this man Abner that is mentioned here in these verses that we have read, particularly the words of David regarding him. Verse 33. What I want us to think about is a funeral eulogy nobody wants. A funeral eulogy nobody wants. Because here's what David had to say. Verse 33, the king lamented over Abner and said, "Died Abner as a fool dieth. Thy hands were not bound, nor thy feet put into fetters. As a man falleth before wicked men, so fellest thou." And all the people wept again over him. And really those words in verse 33, "died Abner as a fool dieth." Let's just bow in prayer for a moment and let's ask the Lord for his help as we come to his word. Our Heavenly Father, we ask thee to bless all that has already been said tonight and that which has been sung and in the hymns that we have been singing and in the ministry and song. Lord, speak to our hearts, we pray. And now as we come to the word of God, we pray that thou will bless thy truth as we consider it here in this place and think about this man Abner and what the scripture records about him. Lord, we are reminded that all of scripture is recorded for our benefit. And there is a purpose, O Lord, in every detail, every statement that is found in the word of God. These things are written for our admonition. Oh Lord, they're there to put something into our mind, to teach us something. And we pray that tonight, as we consider Abner and consider these words that King David spoke at that time when they buried him, we pray that thy word will come with power this evening and that thou will speak, Lord. Make thy word a saving word, we pray, and that we might not be like Abner. So hear us, we pray. Give help, we ask, O Lord, in the preaching. For we pray this night in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This man Abner that we have been reading of here in this particular portion had been the captain of Saul's armies. And on a number of occasions when Saul had come at the head of a company of armed men seeking out David, on many an occasion Abner was there. And there's a whole history of that related for us in 1 Samuel and also into a little of 2 Samuel here as well about the part that Abner played in the life of Saul and also in the early life of David. But now when we come to this particular point in time, even though Abner was on the other side in that regard, that he was helping Saul and in support of Saul, we read here about David standing at Abner's grave and uttering this lamentation over him as he is buried. He laments over this man. He's a renowned soldier, and David gives him the credit that is due to his name. When you come down towards the end of the chapter, verse 38, he says, "Know ye not that there is a prince and a great man fallen this day in Israel?" So David gives credit where credit is due, and he knows the reputation that Abner had as a soldier. And David pays tribute to that reputation that he had, even though he was on the opposite side and opposed to David. David acknowledges that Abner was a formidable foe, and why not? Because that's what caused him to rise up through the ranks of Saul's army and become the chief captain of Saul's armies. It's because of the type of man that he was, the soldier that he was. But alas, David has to hear lament over him in verse 33 and say, for all of his ability as a soldier, for all of the skills that he had and the accomplishments that he had as a soldier, he died a fool. He died a fool. And here is King David particularly lamenting that point. Not only lamenting that he has been slain, that his life has been ended, even ended prematurely, even ended in circumstances that David had no part in and was not in agreement with. He dies as a fool. He dies as a fool. And it's that thought that I want us to particularly consider this evening, because Abner dies at the avenging hand of Joab. There's a history between him and Joab, because as Abner was on the other side, he's captain of Saul's armies, Joab was the captain of David's armies. And there was a time that there was a battle between those two armies, and Abner was singled out and got separated from his army, and he was pursued by Joab's younger brother. His name is given to us there in a number of places. For example, verse 30, it mentions Asahel, and it tells us where the battle was as well. The battle was in Gibeon. And Abner, being the older man, the skilled soldier, well able to engage in combat, he overcome the young Asahel, Joab's younger brother, and he slew him in battle. But vengeance filled the heart of Joab, and Joab would not relent, and he would wait, and he did wait for the day when he would be able to enact vengeance and revenge against Abner for what he had done to his younger brother. So there is a history between David and Abner. There's a history between Joab and Abner. And it brings about this man's death in the circumstances that we have read this evening. And at his grave, David utters these words of lamentation. But not only is there the physical and the historical details that are given to us here in the Word of God about this. This is recorded for our spiritual benefit. There's a spiritual picture that is here set before us. There's spiritual lessons for us to learn. These things are put into the Scriptures, not just to give us the history of the nation of Israel or the history of the Jews and King David or King Saul or these captains of their armies that there were at a particular time. There's something more that is given to us. There's another reason. These things are given to us for our spiritual benefit. They're to teach us something, illustrate something for us. There's spiritual truths that we are to notice here from these details that are given to us in the Word of God. And it is that I want us to particularly consider here, because Abner's death and what David had to say about Abner's death illustrates for us the folly of those who die out of Christ. It illustrates for us the folly of those who die out of Christ. And with that as our subject, I want you to notice some points here. I want you first of all to consider that Abner died having received overtures of peace from the king. He died having received overtures of peace from the king. It was not David's desire that Abner would be slain. That is made evident to us here from the words that David said, so much so that the people notice this and they are aware. And for example, in verse 36, it says, all the people took notice of it, and it pleased them, as whatsoever the king did pleased all the people. For all the people and all Israel understood that day that it was not of the king to slay Abner the son of Ner. So such is David's conduct in this matter at this time when this man Abner is being buried. that David makes it abundantly clear, so much so that the people pick up on it. They are well aware that no matter whatever the history there is between David and Abner, and the fact that Abner was on Saul's side and had been opposed to David at a previous time, whatever the history was, they understand now at this particular moment in time and relating to the circumstances of Abner's death that it was not of the king that Abner should be slain. It was not the king's desire that Abner would be put to death. Now it is true that Abner did oppose David and opposed him greatly, because if you just turn back to the previous chapter, 2 Samuel chapter 2, and look at verse 8, you find a little of the details of what this opposition against David entailed in the past. Chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "But Abner, the son of Ner, captain of Saul's host, took Ish-bosheth, the son of Saul, and brought him over to Mahanaim, and made him king over Gilead, and over the Asherites, and over Jezreel, and over Ephraim, and over Benjamin, and over all Israel." Abner played a part in setting up a rival to King David. David was the Lord's anointed. David was the man that the Lord had chosen and said he is to be king, not only over the southern part of the land of Israel, over Judah, but over all of Israel. He was God's anointed. He was to replace King Saul. But Abner wouldn't accept that. And even though Saul is now dead, and it's known that David was the one who was anointed by Samuel to be king in Saul's place, Abner won't accept it. So Abner becomes a rebel against King David and sets up an alternative king. There's this man called Ish-bosheth. He's the son of Saul there, he's described as. And Abner plays his part in taking him over Gilead, which is on the other side of the River Jordan, and he establishes him as a king, a rival king to David. He won't acknowledge David's claims, his rightful claims to be king over all of Israel. Abner rebels against those rightful claims and opposes David. So this is something of the history that there is between these men. And yet for all of that, it is known, it is made known here at this time when Abner is slain and they're burying him. It's made known by the king, obvious to the people as well, that it was not of David's will that Abner would be put to death. David had played no part in this. For all of the past, for all of the history that there was between David and Abner, David has no desire to see Abner put to death at this particular time. In fact, the very opposite is true, because that's why we went back there to read from verse 22 of this chapter this evening, because it tells us of a meeting that there was between David and Abner in Hebron. You see, Abner came to the place where he realized something of the folly that he had engaged in the past, in supporting a rival and being a rebel against David and not acknowledging David's authority and his kingship and the fact that he was God's anointed. Abner was beginning to realize that this was wrong and what he had done in the past. And that's what brings him to Abner, or that's what brings him to Hebron here to meet with David. And he receives overtures of peace. David is not being harsh against him. David is not opposing him. David's not resisting him. David's only too glad here that Abner is coming around and seeing the folly of his ways and the fact that rebellion against David is never going to work. So there are overtures of peace here from the king towards Abner. And what you have in that little bit of historical detail that we've just summarized there is a wonderful illustration of the mercy of God towards sinners. You see, when you turn over to the book of Ezekiel, for example, and you read some of the verses there that, for example, in verse 23, Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 23, it says, "Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live?" That's verse 23. Verse 32 of the same chapter, it says, "For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye." That which David was doing towards Abner was but an illustration how the Lord acts towards sinners. Yes, sinners have offended God. Yes, sinners are rebels against the Lord. They follow after that which is contrary to the Lord, and they serve that which is contrary to the Lord, and they honour that which is contrary to the Lord, and the Lord is not their king. The Lord is not the one who rules over their lives at all. There's something else or someone else that rules over their lives, and their allegiance is not to the Lord. And yet the Lord acts in mercy. He acts exactly like David acted towards Abner. And there in Ezekiel 18, in those two verses, 23 and 32, you have that brought out. The Lord says, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Well, that's exactly what is said here with regards to David. David says, I have no pleasure in Abner's death. I did not call for his death. I did not plan his death. I had no part in his death at all. Rather, David had shown overtures of mercy and overtures of peace to this man. And so it is in the gospel. Even though sinners have grieved God and offended God, there are overtures of peace. In Ezekiel 33, in verse 11, you have the sequel to those other two verses that we have drawn your attention to. Because there the Lord, in Ezekiel 18, in those two verses, the Lord says, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And then in chapter 33 and verse 11, this is what the Lord says. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? That's the message that Ezekiel was to bring to the people of his day. The Lord has already stated it there. I have no pleasure in the earlier chapter. I have no pleasure. Even though they have rebelled, even though they have sinned, even though they have opposed the Lord says, I take no pleasure in their ruin at all. And he repeats it here again, but he repeats it in another way and for another intention, because he's wanting Ezekiel to go and tell the people, go and tell those who are of such a rebellious spirit, turn ye from your evil ways. For why will ye die? Why will ye die? You know, there's overtures of peace from the Lord. And so it is towards the sinner, towards the individual who has rebelled against the Lord and sinned against him, and who this very night doesn't acknowledge the Lord as King of their lives. There's overtures of peace. There's overtures of peace to you. How merciful the Lord is. And that is illustrated in this portion here when we think about the life of Abner and what David had to say about this man Abner and how he has acted towards him. Is an illustration of the Lord's mercy, that you would turn. Turn ye, for why will ye die? The Lord has no pleasure in your, in not only your physical death, but your eternal death. If you do not turn, you will die. Rest assured of that. If you do not turn and seek the Lord, you'll die. Not only die physically, but die eternally. The Lord would have you to turn. The Lord would have you to turn. That's the overture of peace tonight to you from the Lord. Turn ye. That's the message that he told Ezekiel to take. That's the message that he tells us to take today to the world. Even though they are rebels, even though they're disobedient, even though they don't acknowledge the Lord for who he is, there's an overture of peace. Turn ye, for why will ye die? Why will ye go on in your sinful ways and perish when ye can turn in a mercy? David would have accepted Abner. David would have brought him into his company. David would have made him a soldier in his army. Abner, for whatever reason, he went away that day. He left Hebron, he left the presence of King David, and he headed out, maybe headed back to where some of those places, Gilead, that we've already been mentioned, where he had set up an opposing king. For whatever reason, he leaves the king's presence, and he doesn't settle the matter, and he doesn't bring it through right to completion where he acknowledges and surrenders his life to David and becomes a soldier in David's army. He doesn't do that. For all the overtures, he doesn't do it. And that led him to perish. That overture of peace was not accepted in the way that it ought to have been. And that led to his death. And that's part of the reason why David here stands at his grave and, in the words of this eulogy, he says, died Abner as a fool dieth, because I give you an overture of peace. You could have lived. You could have lived. I want you, secondly, to notice that Abner died overcome by the pretense of friendship and peace. Because Abner leaves and he's heading back in the direction of wherever he's going. We're not just directly told where that is. In this portion, we can maybe glean it from other portions, but that's not really important to the details here and the point to notice at this particular time. But Abner leaves Hebron and he's heading back again. But he's called back. He's called back. He's called back under the pretense of friendship, because Joab, he arrives in Hebron, and Joab has those who are sympathetic to him and who want to whisper in his ear, and they soon tell Joab, "Oh, Abner has been here, your great adversary, the one that you want revenge against. Abner has been here. He's been speaking to the king. The king has been speaking peaceably to him." And we read there about Abner going into the king and verse 24, and it just indicates to us something of the spirit of Abner when he says to the king, "What hast thou done?" It would be more expected that the king would say that to Abner, "What hast thou done?" rather than Abner saying it to the king. But such is the spirit in Abner. It's little wonder down at the end of the chapter that David said, these men, the sons of Zeruiah, be too hard for me. And there's an example of it. Here's this man, bold as brass, coming into the king and saying, "What have you done?" Whereas it should have been the other way around. It should be David saying to a captain of his armies, "What have you done?" rather than the captain saying to David, "What hast thou done?" So he's challenging David as to what he has done. And having heard what has taken place, we read there that he sends word after Abner and he brings him back. Verse 26, "And when Joab was come out from David, he sent messengers after Abner and brought him again from the well of Sirah, but David knew it not." So Joab sends messengers, they catch up on Abner. Abner's not suspecting a thing. He wasn't travelling at a great pace. He wasn't fleeing, because he's been in Hebron and the king has shown towards him overtures of peace. So Abner doesn't feel there's any need for alarm. There's no need for haste. So the messengers easily catch up with him, sent by Joab this time. And under the pretense of peace, we read that Abner is brought back to Hebron. David doesn't know anything about what is going on. And that next verse, verse 27, it says, "When Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly." The word quietly there has the idea of peaceably. He pretended. Joab pretended that all was well. He didn't give any sense of animosity towards Abner. He didn't reveal any spirit of revenge that was burning in his heart. No, there's no inclination of that at all. Abner doesn't suspect a thing. Joab is speaking so quietly and peaceably to him. Joab just thinks, maybe the king has something more to say to me. Maybe there's another message from the king. And Abner never for a moment suspects what's just about to happen. And it tells us there, the rest of verse 27, that he took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly and smote him there under the fifth rib, that he died for the blood of Asahel his brother. Slain, overcome by the pretense of friendship and peace. Abner never suspected a thing. He thought Joab was his friend. He thought Joab had long forgotten and put in the past what had happened. It had happened on the battlefield. Abner had every right to do what he did. Abner wasn't wrong in what he did. It was a battle. It was the rules of warfare. Therefore, Abner was within his right. It was either Abner who was going to die or Asahel who was going to die. Because if you go back to the actual incident, Abner gave Asahel the opportunity to flee, to leave off the pursuit. And Abner warned him, "If you continue pursuing, I will defend myself to the death." But Asahel wouldn't take heed. And Abner was left with no alternative but to slay him in battle. So Abner wasn't suspecting anything, because he had engaged in the rules of warfare and had brought about somebody's death. But he didn't realize that burning in Joab's heart was this spirit of revenge. Rules of warfare or not, Joab was not going to give in, and he was going to settle the score. And here he slays Abner unsuspecting, under the pretense of friendship and peace. But is that not a picture of how sin slays the soul? Is that not a picture of how sin takes an individual down to hell? That's exactly how sin does. The devil will whisper peaceable things into the ear of the unconverted. The devil will not want to alarm anybody about their soul. The devil's not in the business of awakening sinners and alarming them about a lost eternity. Not at all. He wants them to be the very opposite. He wants them to have no thoughts about these things, no alarms, no troubling thoughts whatsoever. He doesn't want them to be troubled about a lost eternity or the thought that somehow they're going to be separated from God for all of eternity to come. The devil doesn't want anyone to have thoughts like that. The devil will lull the unsaved to sleep. He will do it under the pretense of friendship and peace. He will promise the world, he will promise that everything will be well, that they can pursue the pleasures of the world and there's no cost to it, that you can deny the Lord and not give any allegiance to him, not serve him, not love him, not know him, not trust him. You can do all of those things and the devil will convince you that there's no cost in this. You can do all of this without a cost. That's what the devil will tell you. And the devil is just of the same spirit that Joab was of. Joab had no intentions of letting Abner go free that day. He knew what was going to happen. He knew the overtures of the king. He knew the spirit that was in David. He's already gone in and challenged David, and he is unhappy with what David was planning to do. Joab is not on the David side on this matter about giving Abner any overture of peace and willing to bring him in and forgive him for what has happened in the past. Joab is not of that mind at all. And he knows if this goes on, there's only going to be one outcome. Abner's going to be received into David's armies. And Joab couldn't live with that. And Joab had no intentions of letting him away that day. He was intent on slaying. And that is exactly what sin and Satan will do to an unconverted soul. They will take your soul down to hell. And the devil will do it peaceably. He'll do it quietly. He'll not alarm you or trouble you. In fact, he'll do the very opposite. He'll tell you all as well. There's no difficulty here. There's no cost involved. There's no consequences to what you're doing. Well, you remember, Satan and sin is just like Joab. The same spirit that was in Joab is in Satan and in sin. The same end will come. And was that why David stood here at this grave and said of Abner, died Abner as a fool dieth? You were taken in. You see, notice verse 34. Thy hands were not bound, nor thy feet put into fetters. As a man falleth before wicked men, so fellest thou. Because we read there back in verse 30 that Joab was also aided in this by his brother Abisha. But Joab was the one to the fore. Joab actually done the wicked deed. So that's why David here has it in the plural in these words. As a man falleth before wicked men, so fellest thou. And here's David lamenting. David says, Abner, you weren't bound. Nobody bound you. You come back of your own accord. You heard the words, the messengers caught up with you. They told you to come back. You come of your own accord. Nobody bound you. Nobody put your feet in fetters and brought you as a prisoner back to Hebron and then slew you. You were taken in. You were taken in. You were deceived. You were deceived under the pretense of friendship and peace. And how tragic that is, that the soul perishes having been deceived. But that's how the devil works all the time. We don't have the time this evening to go right back to Genesis and the first sin. But the devil did the very same with our first parents, and he's been doing it ever since. He told our first parents, you can eat of the forbidden fruit and there'll be no consequences. In fact, the devil said, consequences? It'll be for your good. You'll be as gods. The devil has been acting in that way from the beginning of time, and he has destroyed countless thousands and tens of thousands and millions of souls with the same lie. Why is it that the Lord puts an incident like this into his word? Is it not to warn us of the ways of the devil? And see an illustration here, even in these historical events. It's little wonder David said what he did. Died Abner as a fool dieth. For all your skill as a soldier, for all your ability, for all your greatness as a man of war, you were taken in. And how tragic that would be for all the skills and abilities that somebody might have, for them to be deceived by Satan and sin and taken down to hell. How tragic. And yet it happens over and over again. One final thought here I want you to consider. that Abner died just a step outside the place of safety. He died just a step outside the place of safety. Notice there the place where Joab took him aside. Verse 27, and when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly. In the gate. Hebron is a special place because Hebron was one of the cities of refuge as they were known. There were six of them in Israel, three on one side of the Jordan, three on the other side of the Jordan, evenly spaced up and down the land. So there was one up at the top either side of Jordan, one in the middle either side of Jordan. They could flee to one of those cities of refuge and no one could touch them. That was the law of God in Israel. No one could touch them until their case was heard. Nobody could pursue them. Nobody could enact vengeance or revenge against them until the judges sat and judged the case and the person was safe. As long as they were in the city of refuge, they were safe. Nobody could touch them. Abner is right at the gate of the city of refuge. One step over the threshold of that gate and Joab couldn't touch him. Joab couldn't touch him. That's how close he was to safety. Is that why David said, "Died Abner as a fool dieth"? Your feet weren't fettered. You were able to step over the threshold into the city of refuge. There was only a step that you had to take. You were taken aside in the gate, verse 27 says. You were so close to the place of safety, so close to that line that you could just step over into the city of refuge and you would have been safe. And Joab could never have touched you. Does that not highlight the significance of those words there in verse 34, that your feet weren't put in fetters? He was free to do it at that moment. There he is, being taken aside in the gate. He's been brought back by the messengers. He thinks that it's all peaceable, and that Joab just wants to convey some message to him, possibly maybe on behalf of the king. Abner's not suspecting a thing. He doesn't realize the importance of getting inside that gate. Joab makes sure he doesn't get inside the gate. Joab stops him from getting inside the gate. Joab takes him aside in the gate. And before he can ever step over that line into the place of safety, into that city of refuge, Joab takes his life. And David stands and laments, Abner, you were a fool. You were so close to the place of safety. There was just another step that you had to take and you would have been in the place of safety. How tragic it is for somebody to hear the gospel and not come to Christ. How tragic it is to have the overtures of the gospel. Turn ye, for why will ye die? To hear those invitations, those gospel invitations to come to Christ and be saved. How tragic it is to hear those things and never come. It's as if you're just like Abner. You've just got a step to take. One final step. One final step to come to Christ. One final step to trust the Saviour. And to have done with sin and done with the world. And step over into Christ and see your soul saved. And you don't do it. That's Abner. But Abner's a picture of many tonight. That's why the Lord records this in his word. He's a picture. Although it's a historical incident, it's a spiritual lesson as well. It's a spiritual picture for us about those who are unconverted, who know and who hear and who never come. They never take that final step. They never come to Christ. And that's all it seems they needed to do, was just take that final step. Abner would have been safe. Joab could not have laid hold of. Joab could not have done anything against him. Joab knew the significance of the city of refuge. He knew that Hebron was such a place. That's why he made sure that he took Abner aside in the gate. That he got to him before he could get in the gate. Because once he got in the gate, Joab knows he couldn't touch him. He couldn't touch him. And Abner loses his life. His feet are not bound. His feet are not in fetters that he cannot move himself. He can step in over that threshold and be safe. And is that not true in the gospel tonight as well? You can come to Christ. It just seems as if it's another step to come to Christ and have your soul saved, your sins forgiven. How tragic it would be if those words were taken and said as a eulogy at our funeral.
died as a fool dies. You were so close, so near the kingdom, and you didn't come to Christ. How sad. Let it not be said of you tonight. Let it not be said of any one of us here tonight. Not a single one of us. Let it be said of any of us that we were so close. Because the Lord Jesus said to the Jews of his day, he says, the kingdom of heaven is coming near to you. He said, there's others who are pressing in. There's others who are pressing in. The publicans were pressing in. The harlots were pressing in. But the Jewish leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees, the Lord said, you're not pressing in. But he says, know this, the kingdom of heaven is coming near to you. And how near can the kingdom of God come to you and you not step into it? And you not come to Christ? May you come tonight. Let's bow together in prayer. Father in heaven, we pray that we might learn the lesson from Abner that is given to us in the Word. O Lord, may we not be foolish and miss out on eternal life and die and be lost forever. May even tonight there be that stepping into Christ, that coming to know the Saviour. Hear us, we pray, even as we close and sing this final hymn. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.